Legends, welcome to the Gym Boss Podcast. We've got a, I say this almost every episode lately because I've been doing a lot of interviews, but we got a special guest today, a little bit different. So it's not just solo episodes with me. We have Omir here coming in from the States. You'll feel you, I'll get him to fill you in a little bit more about him, but I'll tell you a little rundown. Yes. Me and Omir have met because he's actually started off, he's a weapon at sales. And he actually was the head salesperson for a company called Atlas Digital, which is a digital marketing agency for primarily was for chiropractors. And I know that you guys do a lot of other different things over there. But now a couple of guys from that business are now teaching other agencies how to do the same thing, how to grow. Because I know you guys got up to something crazy like 250K a month or something like that in consistent revenue. And you were responsible for the sales for that. And now you're teaching other people how to do that sort of thing. And but also what spawned out of that, which is really interesting for some gym owners, some conversation I've been having is Omir has his own VA recruitment company. So for businesses that are looking for virtual assistants to help with a whole range of different things, which is something that I want to be able to speak about both of these things. Sales, some tactics, some tips and stuff that you've learned over the years that gym owners can implement into their business, but then also some VAs, how they can leverage their time so they're not stuck doing these $5, $6, $10 an hour jobs or whatever, where they can then leverage their time to the more higher value tasks throughout the day. But longest intro in history, Omir, welcome, my man.
I'm excited to be here. It's funny, you said I'm in the States. I actually moved out of the States about a month ago, and I live in South America. I'm in Colombia right now for a few months. So
very nice.
No longer in the States.
Very
close
nice.
Enough though. Close enough.
Was that just because you can?
Yeah. Why not? I've been here. I was here last year, and I was like, "This is pretty sweet. It's very cheap to live here, and I want to try something different. How else do you learn another language or another culture without actually being there and being part of it?" So,
where are you exactly? You're in Medellin.
Medellin. Yep. Medellin, Colombia.
There you go. So everyone loves a bit of history. I'm sure everyone knows history from there.
Of course.
Fill us in, man. Obviously, just give us a quick backlog of like where you were, because I know that you were originally, everyone loves this story. Oh, I was so broke. And now I'm like this guy that's super successful.
Yeah.
But you were legit like an Uber driver when you first started the sales game, weren't you?
Yeah, it was. This was exactly 3 years ago. Back in, you know, if you're looking at March 2018, I was driving for Uber, driving for Lyft. I was going to school, didn't really have any direction. Funny enough, the one thing that I did have direction with was with my fitness. I was very obsessed with working out and eating healthy. And, you know, that was one thing that I was very disciplined on. I need to get back to that discipline now that I work so much. It's funny. It's funny. We work so much and then we forget about the really important things sometimes. And it was exactly actually 3 years ago where I met Joel Kaplan. Because he is Marcos's best friend. And Marcos and Joel actually started Atlas Digital. They are the two partners. So Marcos was my best friend. I've known him for many years. And it, almost exactly 3 years ago, it was March 18th of 2018, I met Joel. And I remember thinking in my head, like, I've never met someone so young. He was 25, 26, that was so obsessed with work. I've never seen that in my life. I never heard about it. You meet successful people. And for some reason, I was like, damn, I need to be more like that. I need to be around that. This was like in March. And, you know, I go back home that day. I came to visit him in Colorado. I lived in Georgia, so it was like a 3-4 hour flight. Don't really think about the conversations that we had. You know, they're talking to me about Atlas Digital, chiropractic. I completely forgot about it. 6 months later, around August, they gave me a call and they offered me a position. And I laugh. I'm like, you guys are crazy. I'm not dropping out of school. I'm working at school. I just got a job at Whole Foods. I'm making $13 an hour at Uber. You guys are out of your mind. Thank you, but no thank you. And I actually turned him down 2 times. People don't know this. I turned him down 2 times. And thank the Lord, thank universe, thank whatever you believe in, that I had a sense in my head that maybe I should call my best friend and ask him. Let me call my sister. Let me call some people that actually are understand me. And they told me, if you don't do this, you're gonna regret this for a long time. You don't want to go to school. You're not making any money. You're living with your parents. It's time to do something different. And with $180 to my name, I packed everything in my little Toyota Corolla, and I drove from Georgia to Colorado, which was like an 18 to 20 hour drive. Didn't know what I was getting myself into. Had no clue what they were doing. Didn't know anything about digital marketing. I knew very, very, very little about chiropractic. And when I got there, there was a reason why I struggled, right? When most people that, you know, whether you're opening up a new gym, whether you're in a gym agency, in the beginning, it's usually the hardest part. People usually quit after the first few months, whether it's, you know, working out, whether it's starting a business, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is. When things get hard, people tend to quit. That's just and people go back the safe route. Unfortunately, that's some of the things that I've so noticed. And I didn't want to make that drive back. I told myself, look, I'm broke. I'm not driving any 18 hours back to from this desert going through Kansas. Like, it's one of the worst drives I've ever made in my life. So thankfully, they kept giving me shots. And what people don't understand, this is why this is so crazy, because they invested to me salary, right? I know if Jimmy, for instance, if you have a salesperson, normally when you hire salespeople, you might give them a month. Second month, they're all commissioned. But Joel and Marcos gave me 3 to 4 months of straight salary. They actually paid me close to $10,000 for 3 to 4 months before I brought in a full sale deal. I think I closed one person on like a free trial that turned into like a $500 client. So I made them almost no money, where they paid me $10,000 and they were only doing $20,000-$30,000 a month. So it wasn't like they were skyrocketing. Now, mind you, they didn't really know what the hell they were doing. They weren't running ads. Everything was organic, cold calls. So they didn't really know what they were doing. And I definitely did not know what I was doing. And come January, they put a quota on my head. They're like, listen, we love you and thank you. You're our friend now, but look, if you don't sell 6K this month, we're going to have to start looking at another person. And I remember getting scared because I was like, damn, I just moved into a new house. There was so much personal life that was going on. I remember going back home Christmas of 2018 and having my mom buy my ticket and not coming home with presents. And it just felt ugly. It just felt disgusting. You know, my mom, called me out. She's like, my parents kept on wanting me to come back. You know, obviously they wanted me to be safe, but something in my head, I'm just like, man, I'm not done with this yet. Like, this is too soon. I know they're working on something great, and thank God I stuck to it, because when they put the quota on my head, I sold 6K that week. And I remember selling, like, I was thinking it was sold like 30 or 40K that month. And then we really took off from there. We went from like 40,000 a month to 250,000 a month within 6 months. So the whole thing really took me, 10 months, but the first 4 or 5 months, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. They didn't know what they were doing. And it was crazy because it happened so quick. And now, I was telling Jimmy earlier, I've been so fortunate because I didn't quit and didn't get fired. I've been fortunate to hire 18 people for my personal network. 10 of them I went to high school with, and like 7 of them I grew up with, and they all have jobs. Some of them are making close to 6 figures now. And it's like, it's been amazing. So yeah, that's the rundown.
It's a crazy story, man. I really like it. Especially, I didn't know that they came to you several times and you knocked them back the first like 1 or 2 times.
Yeah, it was crazy because, I just got a job at Whole Foods and I was so excited to work there because I had 3 friends that worked there. Now that it's a crazy good job, but when you have friends working at a job, you're like excited to see them. It's like, it almost feels like high school. And I was making decent money for Uber and Lyft, right? $13, $14 an hour, but I didn't have to pay rent and I didn't have to pay for anything besides my car payment and gas. So it was very little money that I had to make in order to survive. But one of the things that I tell every podcast, every chance I have, one of the things that I did with Uber, but that was unique, is that I actually had a journal in Uber. And for probably out of the first 300 rides, out of like probably 200 people, I handed people the journal with a pen and I asked them, what's your number one advice for a 21-year-old? And I actually have this journal back home where one day I'm going to release it. And all these people gave me advice, invest in real estate, don't drink and drive, like, great, sometimes some funny things. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm different. Like, I know this, nobody's doing this. I just need the opportunity to prove that I'm different instead of just say that I'm different. I needed a vehicle. I think that's where most people are driving the wrong car and then they're wondering why they're going the wrong direction.
I like that. That's something that that term about being in a different vehicle, not necessarily like what.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, you're not talking about a car, right? You're talking about the business or the position that you're in to be able to succeed. And
correct.
First time I heard that was from old Uncle G. Grant Cardone, and he said something about being in the right vehicle, talking about being in sales. Correct. And because you're actually a classic example of what he's talking about. Instead of trying to be at a job and just saving your way, like, find something where you can really like leverage your time and make better income from it. And sales is a great place to be. And so
huge.
I love that. And what is some stuff that you've learned to get a little tactical? That you're like, cool, people in sales, obviously gyms, doesn't matter what industry you're in, like sales is sales, right? There's some guiding principles that can go across no matter what industry you're in. What's some of your key things that you're like, if you were to distill it down to a couple of key things, you're like, this is what sales is all about.
I wish someone told me this earlier, and it's two things. Number one is to stay authentic. That I think a lot of people try to become something that they're not. And it's so easy to pinpoint someone that's fake. I think people think that they're good at hiding things. And I think that more times they're wrong. I think number one is being authentic, being you, especially if you feel like people like you. I feel like, you know, people like you, if you have a lot of friends, you go to out, like you're the center of attention. Like if you're a very introverted person, it's kind of hard to sell. That's number one. But number two, what I feel like I'm really good at, and I think I wish someone told me this when I first started, is become your client, become your customer, put yourself in their shoes. Literally go through their life story. Where is this person at right now? Why is he here? Why did he gain weight? Why is he 800 pounds? How did he get to become 800 pounds? Is he born? Like you, when we see someone that is either obese, maybe they're super skinny, all we think about is where they want to be, but we don't know how they even got there. A lot of times you have to look how they got there to see where they're going to go. So one of the things that I do is I take myself out of it. I take, you know, I sell a course, right? So I take the course out. I know what we do is we sell is amazing. I have 2,000 testimonials. We've scaled an agency. I don't have to sell myself. It's not about the coaching program. And as soon as I realized, I was like, dude, it's not about the coaching program. We have all these results. People are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. Take myself out of it. Make it about the person. What are they going through? Why are they struggling? Why are they only at 3K a month? How come they've only been in the space for 2-3 years, but they're still struggling? What is going on? And I want to get deep into their pain, because that's when I'm able to make that authentic connection and build that trust, people open up.
That's awesome, dude.
Things that they're not going to tell somebody else. I've had people tell me some really deep shit that I know some of their friends don't even say, you know what I mean? So that took me a very long time to understand. It was actually really recently when I realized that, because I was struggling for such a long time just selling the same thing over and over again. And I think what happens is that people follow a script too much. In the beginning, follow a script for sure. You're acting. But then I look at it. I love watching movies, shows, you know, whatever it is. I look at Leonardo DiCaprio. When they have the script, he's just reading the script. But at the end of when they're starting to shoot, he's putting emotions into it and he's moving and he's becoming the character. And that's what I feel like sales is. Sales is you're acting. It is an act. It's 100% an act. And I think most people are bad at acting. And I think that's number one. I think they also don't care that much. Like if you don't really care, you don't care about what you're selling. You don't believe that your gym is good enough. You don't believe whatever it may be. I think people start losing themselves in there. So yeah.
I like that. So now because it is almost on the surface level, seems a little contradictory. Mm-hmm. It's like be authentic, but now you're acting. Can you go a little bit deeper into those?
Yes. That's a great question. So what I mean by that is when you look at an actor, you can really feel a good movie. Like when I'm DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street, like you can feel that person.
Because classic at the end of the movie,
day,
by the way.
You're amazing, right? An amazing movie. And you can look at all his movies. He's the greatest actor of all time because of the roles that he's played. But what I mean by that is, how can I really, really, really get to know a person within an hour? I have to put myself in them. I don't really know that much. So I have to, and I have to say, I have to act like I care because I genuinely do care. But if you don't care at all, that's going to come off. So I'm sitting there and I have no distractions. I actually, one of the things that I started doing, and this is going to go against all sales and philosophies. This is what works for me. Take it or leave it. I actually don't take notes on the sales call. I literally sit there and I actually just listen to the call. I don't take notes. And if I do, what I do is I actually review the call after and then I'll take notes. But I'm trying to have a conversation with this person because I feel like if I'm talking to you, Jimmy, and you're my friend, dude, I'm not taking notes on my friend. What do I need to take notes for?
That's so true.
I'm having a full-on conversation with this person and I want him to open up to me and I want him to trust it. And what I mean, again, I don't want to say like acting is like, oh, you have to be fake. It's not what I mean. It's what I mean. It's, I want to put emotion into it. I want him to feel like I understand where they're coming from. We only have an hour. How can I get to know everything about this person's entire life in an hour? That makes no sense. So
I love that. It's because that is a good distinction because some people could have initially heard that and gone, hold up, what's that? But that's what you mean is by actually...
Emotion.
And the way I like to describe it at times is imagine that you're two beers deep. You're at the bar with your best friend. Yeah. That's how you talk to these people on sales calls. Don't be stiff. Don't turn into like business person, salesperson. Yes. Just be you. Yes. But maybe you might even have to be a little bit. I know for me, sometimes I have to be a little bit more animated or a little bit more.
100%.
You know, so yeah, man, I think that's really cool tips. And is there, because there's... With gyms, there's sometimes the owners doing the sales. Sometimes they have team, and that's the ultimate. Most people want to be able to then get themselves out of the sales, so then they can start to leverage their time better.
Huge.
What's some tips for people that are like, okay, now I'm getting a salesperson. Now I'm not a salesperson. Now I'm bringing somebody on board. What is some tips in your experience? Because I know you've trained some people up in the past to do the same thing.
And I look at it not just from the way I train, is because the way I was trained, because the way I was trained is very hands-on. I feel like the reason salespeople are either good or bad is it's not very black or white. Obviously, there's, you know, some people are naturally born, but I think it's the person that puts in as much time to train them and puts, and the person that's getting trained is committed. I think that's so big. So if I was hiring, if I was a gym owner and I'm hiring new salespeople, man, I'm dedicating hours to them. I'm calling them at night. I'm checking in on them. I want them to trust me. Like, the number one, that I'm their friend. They can open up to me if some things happen in life, but also I want to role play with them. I want to put them in these weird situations where all these instances can happen. And one time it's someone that brings in a family. Another time it's someone that's obese that wants to lose weight. Another time, all these, I'm putting them through all of this. And we're practicing a lot, to the point where I feel like this is the most cliche thing ever, but practice does make perfect. A lot of times I feel like, whether it's gym owners, whether it's chiropractors, it doesn't matter. They're hiring people and they're expecting them to be great,
yes,
without any care, yes, in them. And then you find out that, oh my God, they're not great. And then you got the wrong person. So one of the things that I try to do, and I'm really good at this, some people are not, and I think you're good at this as well, Jimmy, is that we're able to relate to almost everyone, where I feel like sometimes gym owners, because they have this one demeanor, they're not as dynamic. When they hire a salesperson, they don't even connect. And then this guy's just like, I don't want to sell like this guy. And we sell so differently. So maybe it shouldn't be you training it, but maybe it should be someone that is more dynamic. Maybe it's someone that has more experience. Sometimes it shouldn't be the CEO and the boss training them. Because right now, for instance, I'm training the sales team. That's not the CEO training them. He sees that I've been selling it. I'm doing good. And he's like, yo, you might be better than this. So find a person, if it's not you, to train the team and put the time into them. Before hours, after hours, obviously during hours, a lot of role play, putting them in a lot of different situations, making it hard on them, almost making them wanting to quit the job. Be like, dude, this is actually kind of hard. Because the people that are already thinking that, they're going to quit. But if you keep pushing them and they're like, I'm in this for the long run. This is, I'll get turned down 100 times. I don't care. Those are the people that you want to build a gym around. Those are the people that you want to promote. Those are the people that you might want to open up a second gym with. Right. And you can notice a lot of the things early on. There's a reason why Joel and Marcos didn't give up on me. I showed up to work. I wasn't closing, but I showed up to work. I practiced. I made my calls. I followed up. I recorded my calls. I was going over my calls. I really put in the freaking work. And that's why they didn't fire me. Any other person would have seen that. They'd have been like, yeah, there's no reason why you should fire him. He's putting in the work. So
hopefully that makes sense. So I think to summarize that, at least from the way I see it, is think the long game, not the short term, because if you hire somebody, it's not an immediate fix. Because I think that's what some people think. They're like, man, sales suck. I'm taking up so much of my time. Like, I can do it. I can close, but I've got all this other stuff going on as well. And so if I hire somebody, here is the script. See you later. Like, that's kind of short-term thinking. So if we were to push it out long-term, invest in your people and know that it takes time. But if you have the right person with the right character traits, like, that's basically what you're saying. Because if they don't have the right character 100%. Traits, they won't.
It starts. We care. I don't care about your skill sets, because skill sets can get developed. Look at you 3 years ago. Look at me 3 years ago, Jimmy. We're different human beings. So when it comes to business, right? So skill sets you can develop. Attitude is very tough to develop. I don't think that attitude is done. Like, he has bad attitude. He's going to have bad attitude for the rest of his life. But man, attitude and your character is really hard to develop. That's what the first thing I look for. I look for attitude. I look for your character. I look for, you know, how hard you work. I look at your, like, seeing if you go job to job, you gave me a resume and I just see 12 jobs in the last 3 years. That's a huge red alert.
Yeah.
Right. If you look at my resume, I only had one job that I worked for less than 6 months. Every other job, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. I worked at Five Guys for a year, Top Golf for 2 years. Like, I had a resume that I was not a quitter. I did Uber and Lyft for 2 years. The only thing I quit before I got hired was Whole Foods. Thank God. Right. So, I care about attitude and character way more than your actual sales experience, because I know how I was. And I know that it takes time, and people sometimes don't want to give the time away. They're like, man, I'm too busy. So don't hire a person that's green. Hire someone with experience, right? And the last thing is expectations. I think a lot of people get hired and then there was no clear expectation of what needs to be done. I think one person sees the one thing, the other person sees it another way. And the expectations are completely off. And that's what happened with me. One of my sales jobs in Toyota, I set the expectations so high for myself. So when I wasn't hitting the goal, they looked completely down on me, where I should have been like, dude, I'm freaking terrible at sales. I don't even know what I'm doing. Teach me everything. So your expectations for the employee and the employer is huge before you hire and even while you're hiring them.
Cool. And so do you have like any way of how you do it? Do you just have a document Is so is something that you can both reference? Like, how do you set that up?
It would be document, it would be goals, it'd be, you know, it depends what we're hiring it for, right? So we have here, for instance, like salespeople and setters. So, you know, there's a certain quota that we want to meet. About showing up. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff, but it's making sure that we're on the same page from the get-go, right? Making sure they're on time, making sure they're hitting their quota, making sure they're reaching out for help, making sure they're actually getting what they need. Like, it's not necessarily like step by step, but it's more of like this happens before we hire and even while we're hiring them. Like once they got hired, we're going over expectations again. And hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And what would you say? This is something that I see, and this is a loaded question. But what do you say to people that want to get like their admin person to do sales?
That's a great question, because we have moved an account manager in the agency space to sales and it worked out pretty good. Now, I don't usually recommend that unless the admin person wants to do sales. Like if they are a salesperson, like they are love people and they love talking and they feel like they can sell, you can teach sales as a skill you can teach. But if you're moving your admin to sales because of desperation and you need the salesperson now, you're not only doing harm by moving the wrong person to the wrong position, but this person's probably going to quit. Now you're going to be down two people. You're going to be down an admin and down the salesperson. So it's about finding the right person, you know, obviously short term and all that good stuff. But like, I think that it has to come from the admin, not from the owner. And sometimes, you know, maybe the owner is like, man, I feel like you'd be really good at sales, right? Planting the seeds, but the actual position, the actual, man, I want to do this. This is coming from me because I want to do it, not because you want me to do it. It has to come from the actual admin. It has to come from, you know, whoever it is. So again, no, don't normally recommend that. There's a reason why they're an admin person, especially if they've been there for a long time. But you know, everybody's different. I think sometimes you can find the right person and they just were in the wrong role in the beginning and now you find them the right role. So again, I just think it has to come from the person itself.
I like that because you said that you're not going to lose one, but now you're going to be down two positions. Because I've seen it quite happen a lot is where people try and get their trainers, like in gyms. Cool, I've got a trainer. Yes. I'm going to teach my trainer to be sales. And he was or she was an awesome trainer, then ended up hating sales, so they quit. And you just now lost yourself a great trainer. So I do think it's not like a black or white by the sounds of it, what you're saying. It's like it's very depends on the person.
Yeah, which is how I actually view sales. How I treat sales is every single sales call I take is different. Like, Jimmy, I know you guys are doing pretty well. I'm not going to treat you like you're just starting your agency last night, but I also know you're not doing $300,000 a month. So I have to treat you for like, okay, how do we take this to 100K a month? How do we take this to 120K a month? What do you care about most? Well, you have a family. So how do I give back your time? How do we automate some of the systems in place? Right now, speaking your language, and you're like, oh, shit, well, this sounds great. So that same thing is how you have to treat your employees. You have to make them hear what they want, because that's going to keep them longer, but be critical at times, because that's what they need to hear and that's how they're going to level up. So that's the same applies for your employers and your clients, you know, expectations and making sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. I like that. That's awesome. So that's where I want to draw a line in the sand on the sales stuff. What would you, now let's talk about VA stuff here. So I am a huge proponent, pro for VAs in any business that you're in, because I personally use them and I didn't like about, I would say I dabbled here and there over the years, but went properly, use them properly. I actually became better at how to actually use a VA, because that's a kid skill one.
That's funny.
But now, because it is, because people, again, I always thought, cool, I'm going to get this VA and think everything's going to be sweet, but I didn't invest any time into them, like what you said with the salesperson. Then I ended up thinking, VAs don't work well. But now that I've become better and I know how to actually educate people and bring people on board as a team, I've got four or five of them working for me at any one time now. Amazing. And I would never go back because it's just so valuable about getting back your time, about being able to now focus my own personal time on higher value activities like marketing campaigns for the business, like strategy, thinking time. I've got more time to think rather than being stuck doing like the work of like the quote unquote hands. So you can outsource like the nitty gritty sort of day-to-day tasks. But you talk to us a little bit about the VA stuff and how you've seen some of the benefits for businesses. And obviously you're more on the agency side of things, business owners are business owners. Correct. Could you give some examples of how gyms could use them?
100%.
I think that would be great.
Yeah. So I actually want to start with how I started this because a year ago, I was selling Atlas. I was selling chiropractors, Facebook ads, right? And the coaching stuff that we do and all that good stuff. And I was asked exactly about a year ago, like, hey, do you just want to continue selling? And I was like, yeah, you know, I never really envisioned myself owning a business. I just want to sell high ticket. That was like my goal. And it's funny because I really believe some of the greatest things in the world start by accident. I'm a huge believer in that. I think when you don't force things and they just kind of happen organically, it happens. So back in November, one of the virtual assistants for Atlas Digital, he came to me and he's like, man, listen, I really love Atlas Digital. It's an amazing company, obviously doing big numbers, but I just feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over again. I don't really know what to do and all that stuff. And I'm like, Pablo, listen, I love you. And I work, mind you, and I also work with a sister. His sister was actually my VA. She was helping with emailing and clients and all that stuff. She was my VA. As a salesperson, I had a VA. That's how you know. So I'm not even a business owner. I was a salesperson hiring a VA because I wanted to automate a lot of my prospecting. That's next level shit. That's the next level thinking. So
you can swear. That's fine. Yeah, so you're trying to cover it up.
I don't want to hold back.
It's Australia, man. We swear like.
I know. I keep forgetting. But because this was right around November, and he's like, man, listen, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. And I was like, dude, if I find something for you, maybe I'll find another agency job. I'll let you know. And it's funny, that week, I actually lost two deals. I remember this vividly. I lost two deals, maybe in then a week or two, to other coaching programs that the only thing that they have that we don't is they provide trained VAs. We have a better coaching programs. We have 15 hours of coaching material. We have thousands of more testimonials. We're the same price point. The only thing they offer that we don't is VAs. And I was thinking to myself, how the hell did I just lose two deals just like that? Because they have one thing that we don't when we have everything else that they wish they had. So I thought to myself, let me see if I can get Pablo to help me get some VAs. And I remember messaging him. I was like, yo, Pablo, look, maybe if you can help me find some VAs, like that'd be cool. Maybe we can, I could pay you some for referrals. Maybe, I don't know. Bro, Jimmy, the next day he came back with like 200 VA applicants.
What?
Ready to rock and roll from all over the world, South America, Philippines. I couldn't believe it. And I was sitting there. I was like, holy crap. This is the one thing that we're missing is virtual assistants. We have the systems. We have the paid ads, we have scaling, we have everything you need. The only thing we don't have is VAs for new agencies and even scaling agencies. So what I do is I told him, like, hey man, let's do this. Let's figure out how to do this. And I was telling Jimmy earlier, I mean, we're 100% organic. We've done over $35,000 in sales in the last few months and we haven't run ads. Everything's been completely organic and it's been completely magical because what I've noticed is when you find the right VA, your job becomes so much simpler. Your time gets taken back. There's some things that Jimmy, if all his four VAs quit today, tomorrow they don't have work, he's going to be so pissed. Not because he's going to be so upset, not because he lost great VAs, but because he knows now he has to do the work that they did, right? It's very admin work and the things that you really don't want to do. And they're okay with doing because we're paying them, you know, US or Australian dollars that convert to a lot of money. I've noticed people that make in the Philippines, if you're paying your VA $700-$800 a month, they are balling out of control. They're buying so many chickens. You guys don't even, you have no clue. That's like their wealth. Their wealth is chickens is what I noticed. So I realized, I was like, damn, $700-$800 a month and I can have them do cold email and I can have them do all this stuff. So now it's been growing and it's been awesome. But here's how I would use it for gyms, right? I'm putting myself in a gym situation, right? One of the things that I'm assuming a lot of gyms have problems with, just like any niche, is no shows, right? People saying they're going to show up to an appointment. People say they're going to show up and commit and they don't show up. Or maybe they show up once and they never do. And instead of just setting text blast, if you can hire a Filipino, or maybe a South American, or even wherever it is, Indonesian VA for very cheap, $3-$4 an hour, and they speak really good English, to call them before their appointment, even call them after to review how the appointment went, that's huge. What we notice is when there's human touch point before the lead comes into the building, there's way more of a chance that the lead comes in. I mean, almost a 3 times a chance. But when you guys are just sending out text blasts and email blasts, I mean, dude, I don't know how many things you're signing up to, Jimmy, but I ignore those all day. And sometimes I ignore important ones. I had one with you and I didn't even see it, right? that human touch is so important because if I got a call and they talk to me and maybe I got a question or two answered, man, that is ginormous. So how I would use it is in a way where I would have them confirm appointments, have them even follow up for reviews. You can even have them do some admin work, right? Some of like prospecting, right? Cold email. sending out blasts on cold emails, sending out blasts on Facebook. Some of them are so advanced, they'll even do Facebook ads for you guys and they'll start doing media buying. Not that they're good, and I would not recommend doing that, but some of them are really good. Like some of them are really good. So I think that out of all the positions that an agency is valued on, I think VAs are the most undervalued and underappreciated people because they're doing so much work. And here's what's crazy. The VAs that I work with, you know, even though I don't see them as VAs, I see them as partners. And that's something that I hate even the term VA because I feel like it's degrading a little bit. So the people that essentially work for me, I see them as partners. They actually really created this whole program. I'm just the face of it. They created the Go High Level training. They created the prospecting training. They helped me with the Facebook group. Now they're starting to run ads for me. Some of them are so advanced, but they're held back because they never had the opportunity. Okay, going back to what I said earlier, the vehicle. So if you guys can provide the vehicle to them, whether it's your agency, whether it's your gym, whether it's your company, man, you're gonna be astonished by this skill level that some of these VAs have. Now, mind you, Jimmy, I don't know about you, but I had to go through some, you know, bad apples to find some good ones.
That's true. That's very true. I've probably got my core 5 that I have now, but I've probably gone through another 10 or so that were just, and the thing for bringing them on board, we had our probationary period where we did a trial run together and then it just doesn't work out because they might interview quite well, but then once you get them into the day-to-day, some other tasks that I've seen work really well just for, I think that's really great doing the phone call stuff because some people are not too sure. But if it's just literally like, hey, I'm from the admin team, they can even just say, hey, I'm just from the admin team, just following up.
Yep.
How did your appointment go? You know, Amir's about to see you in the gym in 1 hour's time. He's looking forward to it, just confirming, blah, blah, blah. Like that's it. That's pretty cool. What I've helped some other gyms do in the past and some of our clients now is they actually create the social media posts. So just your organic content that goes out.
Yep.
And you don't have to necessarily write the content for them. You can give them a few examples at the start and then they don't post it initially until you do a review. Yep. And then once you get confident that they can do it, then they can just post stuff. Like now all my content is done by, I just do a podcast a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
Then my VA, she goes back and listens to it. And then she creates like quote cards. She creates longer form Facebook posts. She does emails even, and she does everything just all from listening to the podcast and then transcribing bits and pieces of it. And so you could even do something like that. If you just wanted to talk about a topic, you're talking to it in the notes app on your phone or something, and then they could go from there. So it's content. The other one is you mentioned cold emailing. That's probably not so much. Maybe you could use it as a strategy in gyms.
Reactivations, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's another one.
And then prospecting on like Instagram, Facebook DMs, messages, that works really well.
Yes.
And then other basic admin stuff, like handling people that want to pause their accounts, cancellation of accounts, you know.
100%.
All that's
like, thinking right now, Jimmy, I guarantee you there's a gym right now. Maybe they're listening. Maybe they'll listen in the future that they're paying someone $10, $12, $13 an hour to do exactly what we were just talking about, where they can pay someone $3, $4 an hour.
Our minimum salary in Australia is like $25 an hour.
$25 an hour to do the exact work that we and you just talked about. Obviously, sometimes you want to hire people, of course, but there is work that you guys are paying some of your employees way too much to do work for a fraction of the price. And not only that, man, I'm sure you can attest to this. Some of these VAs work way harder than Australians, than Americans. American is a slobby country already. We're the fattest country in the world. It's funny. I was listening to this the other day. America is the only country that we die from overeating. There's countries that can't feed their family. We overeat and we die. You know what I mean? That's the kind of country we are. So some of these people here are lazy. Like I actually like see that, but you are going to go through some bad apples. Don't let the bad apples distract you from the fact that there are some incredibly talented virtual assistants that would love the opportunity to work with you. I mean, some of the messages that we've gotten, like that we're able to feed families, like I'm giving back, like we've now helped about almost 40 agencies get virtual assistants. That's 40 families that I fed from all over the world, right? Just because we had this opportunity. And what we do is we essentially find the virtual assistant. We have them go through a pretty dialed in process. We also train them for the agency. Right? Agencies like you, Jimmy, you don't have time to sit there and find the VA and train them. So I want to do that for you. We have a team to do that. That's why for us, it was like a no-brainer. Like, hey, if we can find the right person for you, they're plugged in within 2-3 days, they're working for you and they're trained within a week. That's a no-brainer. So again, if you're a gym owner and you're listening right now, like, yes, it's going to take time. It's just like finding an employer. It's just like finding, you know, someone to a manager, right? Obviously their role is going to be a little more crucial, but I think the biggest thing is some people had a bad taste of working with someone in the Philippines or South America, wherever it is. And they're like, I'm never going to work with these people again. And that's just such blasphemy. And then they're going to just like, it took you a long time to realize, it took a lot of other agencies a long time to realize, man, there's some VAs that right now, you know, that if you lose your VAs, they're going to find a job within a week. So yeah, you want to make sure you keep them for a long
time.
Tell
you what, mine, I am so grateful for them every single day. Like, they are amazing. The amount of hard work, dedication, going above and beyond their normal day-to-day tasks and their duties is like astounding to me. Like, and I'm so grateful for them. So if you're listening, Astrid, Paul, Charmaine, Tim,
shout out to
you guys. You guys are all incredible. But there's something that I know some people initially have at the start, and you already sort of touched on it, which is great. But some people might have like an ethical thing, like, oh, I don't know, it, like, how can I only pay them like, you know, however much in Australian or US dollars? But I think you said, like, with the conversion rates for them, it's good cash.
It's great cash. And it's the thing is, most of these people that are listening, they've probably never been to the Philippines. The reason I was in Colombia is like, oh, you like the women in Colombia. Of course I like the women, but I would never move to a country just because of women. There's women everywhere. You can move to Alaska, there's women there, you know? I moved here because the cost for living is literally half of what I was paying in California. I ordered a meal. I'm talking about a meal for three people, like, that's going to last me 2 days. And I paid $8 for it. So, like, it's insane, but you don't realize this until you travel and you go to these countries. And most people, you know, they probably never left Australia. They never left California, New York. So then to them to hear, oh my God, I'm paying someone $800. That's a lot of money. Like, paying someone $800 a month in the Philippines, they are beyond set, because to them, you know, they're paying rent for $40 a month or $100 a month, right? Something very minuscule. So don't think about it like that. You got to talk to them. And obviously, look, if they're struggling and if they need more money, they're going to reach out, because they're going to want, we're moving to a world where working by the hour is no longer valid. It's working by the value. How much value are you providing me?
Yes.
I hate people like Jimmy. Like, I don't know about you, but like, I'd rather work with, I pay my VAs based on like how much, like, literally, and, you know, again, not my VAs, I see most partners, but I pay them based on how much value they're actually bringing into the company. I pay them hefty. So to me, I don't care, $12, $13, $14 an hour. You can clock in, clock out. I want you to work overtime if needed. I want you to work less time and go enjoy your time with your family. I care about how much value you're bringing to the company, how we're growing, rather than you're putting in 16, 17 hours a day. That tells me nothing, because you can just be on your computer. Who knows? So, and there's also ways to monitor, right? There's a thing called screen monitor. You can make them download the extension and you can literally click and watch them work if you don't trust them.
Yeah. I've never had to do that because my stuff is always performance based, because I can see, are the tasks getting done? No, well, I don't care if you do it in 1 hour or 10 hours. This is what you're getting paid, and it's 100%. It's good. And also, if you're still thinking about, like, you to put some price comparisons in, I had a look at like the conversions of like what are typical salaries for like a school teacher or a whatever. Yep. And my VAs are getting paid more than like school teachers over there, where they had to go to university and everything. And there's a lot of opportunity to get some sensational VAs. Yes. That you might not have normally had access to, because in the Philippines, the pandemic is still crazy. And a lot of call centers, they call them BPOs over there, but a lot of call centers, like, for example, Telstra is our biggest telco company here in Australia. And they had a huge call center over where in the Philippines, where a lot of my guys came from, closed down, literally gone. And there's like senior management. Wow. There's all sorts of people that you can get that are incredible, can bring incredible value, that are quality assurance people, that are good detail oriented. You can get management. You can get people real organized. Like, it's incredible talent pool that's available right now. If you are looking for VAs, this is the time to do it, in my opinion.
Someone's going to listen to this, Jimmy, and they're going to take action. And other people are not going to listen to this, not going to take action. And I promise you, in 2-3 years, the ones that took action and figured out a way to automate certain tasks and systems with VAs, they're going to be so grateful that they did, because the other ones are going to hire an Aussie grad student for $30 an hour that doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and he's just hoping and praying that he's doing the right thing. Meanwhile, someone in the Philippines has been doing this for years, and they're asking for literally an eighth of the price. So I was dumbfounded by this when I first found out about it 3 years ago. I'm still dumbfounded by this, and now I want to have a whole business. My goal is to literally have employers and employees all over the world, because man, look, you're in Australia, I'm in Colombia. Like, we are literally on different. It is a different day for you right now.
Yeah, like, literally. It's you Wednesday. Know what I mean?
It's Wednesday. Wednesday. It's Tuesday night for me. It's Tuesday night for me. So
I'm from the future, man. This would
not
be
possible. Literally, you are from the future, right? But this would not be possible without internet technology. So the people that are going to take advantage of this and figure out a way to make this a part of their gym, make this a part of their systems, dude, they're going to scale so much faster, and their profit margins are going to be so much better. So not only are you scaling great, but your profit margins are amazing, because you're not paying an employee or multiple employees $30, $40, $50 an hour. We could be just paying a virtual assistant to do that same tedious tasks. But yeah, I mean, I wish more businesses knew about this. I think one of the things you asked me is like, hey, do you want to make this for just agencies? Right now, that is my market. I'm in the agency space, but ultimately, hell no, I want to go all over. Man, there's so many businesses that if they had VAs, half the country would be unemployed, but they don't know about how good the VAs are. And I think one of the things I would love to do ultimately, and it's funny because I'm super anti-school, but if there was two things that I would love to teach in school, would be English, number one, because that's the language the world speaks, and tech, right? Go high level, and Facebook ads. And man, I would love to build like a school for adults, for 20, 30, 40 year olds. And all they learn every day is English, reading and writing, and tech support, right? Call center, go high level. And I'm telling you, bro, that idea right there, if when the time comes, you're going to hear about it a little bit more, because as I live in Colombia, I'm noticing that most people don't speak English. I was actually funny enough, I've been on like 10 dates with this girl that we don't speak the same language at all. And it's crazy, because without a Google translator, I'm just looking in her eyes. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, dude, there's no one that speaks English here. And this is such a, like, this country is so, like, they're, I don't want to say behind, but they're definitely not. It feels like the U.S. is like 20 years ahead of them when it's not. So, man, this whole world is moving into agent information. We have the ability to do whatever and however we want. And now finding the right people and pieces in places sometimes is the number one thing that holds us back.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, there's been a lot of good stuff there. We talked about sales. We talked about VAs.
Yes.
Yes. Man, we could talk forever, but I do have to wrap this up. I do have
same here. Same here.
Work that we got to get to.
Yes.
But
yes.
I'm going to wrap it up there, because we probably have to do part two for this. But if people want to go, cool, like let's say find out more about the VA stuff, or maybe, you know, you said it's still for agencies, but you know, if they want to reach out, find out a little bit more, have you got a website or anything up and running? Or is it just your Facebook? How do they connect with you?
Yeah. So the Facebook is where you're going to contact me, and then I usually plug people up. But I want to make sure that our website's up as I'm like typing it on my phone here. We just launched this really recently. So yeah, if you go to usefava.com, USEFAVA.com, you can go through some of the testimonials, see the people that we worked with. Our guarantee is that I'm going to find you a VA. But the guarantee, if for some reason within 30 days, we don't find your VA, I will replace them for free. My goal is not to just take people's money, be like, yo, figure it out. It's like, I want to find you someone that's going to be there long-term. I'm getting messages from people that joined Fava like 5-6 months ago, and they're so grateful. And that is what I live and die by. I don't want to just, again, I know the bad apples. We even go through some bad apples ourselves. So again, the biggest key point with VAs is don't let the few or the many bad apples this disturb you from the fact that there are some insanely amazing green apples that are even better than some of the people that you're currently working with. And that is powerful.
Dude, Amir, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes.
And everyone, if you're listening, go check it out. Use FAVA. Yes. Fava is the name of the business. It stands for effing awesome VAs, or virtual assistants, which is freaking cool, man.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
But everyone listening in, thank you so much. Go check it out, Amir, if you need a VA. Go back and listen to this again to hear about the sales stuff. And if you are a gym owner and you're listening to this and you're like, cool, I want somebody to do my ads for me too, go to my website, iwantgymleads.com. You can go over there, and then you can go check out all that stuff we've got over there. Amir, thank you so much, dude. I'll speak to you soon.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.